Hour 4 of Rosie on the House. Good morning, y'all. Thanks for tuning in.
If you'd like to join the conversation, we're talking in particular this week, bathroom remodeling, if you have one in queue, or you're considering it, or in the middle of it and have questions, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.
And we're here with Kirk Kittleson, founder of Rebath, which is a whole different story in and of itself. I want to go into that. And he has brought president of Rebath, Lori Lund, in to talk bathrooms. What, Kirk, I think your story of founding Rebath is pretty intriguing. Would you mind starting there? And then I want to go in, and then I'm going to start testing you on trivia of bathroom history.
Well, I'm not sure how well I'll do on that history part, Rosie, but thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give just a brief history. Rebath started about 37 years ago. My college roommate and I started that. And we started out just doing bathtub liners. And we did that with primarily hotels and motels around the country. And that evolved into what Rebath is today, which is 120 franchisees around the country, and actually some in Europe and Canada. And so now we're into total bath remodels as opposed to just the bathtub itself. And I'm proud to say that I sold Rebath Corp many years ago, but I have the Phoenix and Northern Arizona franchisee, so I'm still involved.
Well, my mother raised 8 kids. And
bless her heart.
We stayed at Waweep Marina. This goes back to about the 80s. And she saw this one-piece bathtub enclosure liner thing that that y'all had done up there. And she says, if I could find this company, I'd invest in them. This is the easiest to clean bathroom shower enclosure I've ever seen in my life. But y'all, and that's where y'all started. Y'all were the motel remodelers because you didn't have to have a bathroom down for a month while you were getting it redone.
You could rent it out the next morning.
And they are acrylic. And how many bathtubs do you have in inventory?
Well, at the parent
company. When I walk in the back of that factory back there, it's kind of like mind-boggling.
At the parent company, there's well over 1,000 molds.
Different tubs.
Yeah, tubs are like car manufacturers. There's Moen or there's American Standard, and then they make different models, like Chevrolet makes different models or BMW makes different models. Their bathtub manufacturers are the same. They have companies and they have models, and they change over the years, and they keep trying new designs to modernize the look and the heights and the widths and the area to bathe in, and all that's changing over time. So it's an ongoing thing and it never stops.
And so your concept was, let's develop an acrylic sleeve that would just fit over this tub. So you needed each of the tubs to create the molds.
That's correct.
Where'd you get all the tubs?
We spent a great deal of time going through junkyards.
You did, really?
Yeah, no question. And I had friends around the country going around junkyards for me. I'd send them photographs. I said, go to a junkyard and see if you can find this. There was one down in Phoenix, down on Washington Street, that we were on a first-name basis.
Yeah.
And then after we got a little more successful in the business, we were able to, if you had a hotel in Washington, D.C., and we didn't have that mold, we would send someone out or pay them to pull out one of the bathtubs and ship it back to us.
Okay.
And we used that for a mold. And
you
then,
go bathtub fishing.
Kind of like that, yeah. It kind of was.
So the concept that originated as a very quick, economic, but a very durable bathroom remodel. I mean, y'all started just, all you would do is the tub and the liner.
That's what it was. A new bathtub that fit over the top of an old one.
Yeah.
And all we went after was the hotel market. And we got, I'll tell you a quick story, Rosie. I was about 27 years old, and I was meeting with the vice president of Hilton Hotels. And he said, son, you're never going to see a plastic bathtub in a Hilton Hotel. I said, well, yes, sir. And about 3 months later, we were doing Hilton Hotels.
Yeah.
So they are better than what's in the hotels.
Yes.
Because they're room temperature. They're repairable. They're easier to clean. They use less hot water if you're taking a bath.
Yeah.
I mean, they were really better. But it just took a little while for everybody to admit that we might have something better.
And then over the years, and we're talking founding this company when, Kurt?
1978.
Okay. So we found it in 78 as a service to the hotel industry.
Correct.
We launch into the residential industry when?
About 1982.
Okay.
And it just, I'd like to say we were smart enough that was the plan, but it wasn't at the time. But what we found was that people were calling us from their homes.
Yeah.
Apartment buildings, hospitals, naval and army bases, and wanting this. And we couldn't service you if you just needed three or four in Oklahoma, too far away. So that led us to having local people, and that led to franchising.
Okay.
And then it's evolved into what it is today, where anything you want to do in your bathroom, we do. We don't even sell.
You've been pulled into that because people don't want to deal with multiple contractors.
Correct.
They don't want to call a rebath to put the liner and the glass door in and the new shower valve and head and to deal with somebody else on the floor covering and the cabinets and the countertops and the lavatory and the mirror and the lightings and everything else. So y'all got pulled into that.
We got pulled, and then when we realized it was a good idea, we pushed really hard.
Yeah.
But yes, it was pretty simple to figure out that our phones ring, and we can't accommodate them. How are we going to do that?
So we're here talking this morning about bathroom history as well as bathroom trends with the founder of Rebath and 5-Day Kitchens and the president as well. Lori, thanks for coming in and joining us.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
We've had Kurt in a couple times, but thank you for coming in this time.
Yep, brand new for me.
Yeah, but you've been with Rebath a long time.
I started about 13 years ago with the corporate office and worked there basically getting our partnership with the Home Depot up and running all over the country. And from there, I had a franchise development role, got to know Kurt, and had the opportunity to join the local team. So I'm very excited about it.
Well, bathrooms have certainly come a long way as Rebath has evolved since its founding in 78. Do y'all know when the first flushable working indoor toilet was created?
I would guess the early 1900s.
It was actually 2,800 years ago in China. Now, but it didn't have a vent system. See, the problem that we have in a bathroom is it's great to have a toilet, and whether that's straight into a cistern or whether that's the outside outhouse or whatever it is. But the dilemma is we've got to protect the inside air quality from the resultant methane. And the reason that kept us from bringing indoor plumbing in was we couldn't figure out how to keep the vented system from back venting into the house.
Interesting.
So then we have Sir John Harrington in England in 1594 comes up with the first flushable P-trap style toilet that then allows us to lock the methane, poisonous gas, and pretty unpleasant gas as well, outside of your home. So then we start moving into flushable, workable toilets, and they never did take off for 100 years. And they didn't take off because aristocracy said you don't do that function inside the same building that you sleep and prepare your food in. It's only appropriate that you have to go outside and cross the yard and do that over there.
There's a lot of people who say that should still happen.
Yeah, really?
Sometimes in my house.
So that's just a small, short taste of the history of the bathroom. And we've gone from the outhouses to the indoor plumbing. And what are we seeing right now? Let's just talk toilets. And that's not something we generally high center on our show. But what are you seeing in the way of toilets? I mean, I've seen them come a long ways just in the last 30 or 40 years.
Well, and they're coming fast and furious. They've got some really cool stuff right now. I mean, believe it or not, you can now buy a seat that comes with a bidet and retrofit it to your existing toilet.
Yeah.
And that was never before. Bidets were always a separate device. Separate device.
Yeah.
And now they're incorporated. Or you can buy a new toilet with both of them in one. And you can have heated water in that bidet. And they're now rimless. And by rimless, I mean right now on the toilet, around that rim, you have a whole bunch of little holes that pushes the water down in there to create that flushing motion.
To create that cycle.
Now they're coming with two giant holes. and not all the little ones, because the little ones can tend to plug up. They don't do a good job cleaning your toilet and all that stuff over time. Now they got two big holes, so for a lot less water, they create the same flushing effect. So water conservation is huge in toilets. The usability is better. And the rimless ones are bigger around.
There's something to be said for that,
for
right?
We understand the benefits of that. So, yeah, they've come a long way, and they're using much, much less water. And that's going to come via federal government anyway.
Yeah, that, you know, in all of the evolution of being in the remodeling business for the last 45 years, the when we had to take the VOCs out of paint, that put the entire paint industry in a turmoil for about a decade. And when they mandated low-flow toilets, that put the toilet industry into a real turmoil for about a decade. It took them about 10 years to figure that out.
Before they were good.
Before they were good. Because we went to low-flow multiple flush.
Yep.
And I don't know that that's what they were intending.
No, you didn't have a benefit there.
we weren't saving much water with those first few generations of low-flow toilets, were we?
Well, and the new ones, Rosie, they're sleeker. The tanks are smaller, so that makes the bathroom look bigger. The design of them are sleeker, so they're easier to clean. There's not all the nooks and crannies when you're trying to clean the side of a toilet, you know, down the bottom. They're sleeker, so it's easier to clean.
Yeah.
You can have a remote control raise and lift for the cover.
Yes.
So you don't have to touch anything on the toilet if you
don't
want
to. And there's motion sensors when you walk in the bathroom.
And there's motion
the
sensors
seats
too.
Will go up. And,
and of course, you've been in airports or commercial buildings where you don't have to push something to flush it.
Right.
That's now coming into the residential market.
Yeah. It's all automatic.
Yep.
It can be, going to the bathroom can now be a hands-free procedure.
Well, part of it.
It's wash. And it's dry.
Part of it.
And you don't have to fight over somebody not putting down the toilet seat.
And you don't have to worry and fight. And that's something I want to get back to when we get back. I never have understood why ladies are so upset we leave the seat up. We'll get to that when we get back.